The British public has been panic buying fuel. Now the army is preparing to step in. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. As many as 150 military tanker drivers are on standby to deliver fuel to gas stations that have run dry. The government says there's enough supply to go around. The problem is there aren't enough drivers to deliver it. People have lined up sometimes for hours at fuel stations across this country. Driving home from Heathrow Airport after 11 p.m. last night, every station I passed still had dozens of cars lined up, some even out to the highway. The BBC's Emma Simpson explains why this is all happening.
It's not because we have a shortage of fuel stocks. The problem has been a shortage of drivers. Drivers have been panic buying, worried that they're not going to be able to fill up their tank. And that means that there's more panic buying than the deliveries can cope with. It's not just the UK. There are a shortage of drivers in other European countries as well. But we particularly have a big shortage in the UK. And it's a perfect storm, really. You've got the pandemic. A lot of drivers return to the EU because of the pandemic. There's a Brexit effect as well. And of course, we had a shortage of drivers even before the pandemic, partly because conditions are pretty hard and pay wasn't enough.
So what is the UK government doing now to help alleviate this problem?
Firstly, they did a big handbrake turn. They're now easing restrictions to allow temporary visas on a strictly timed basis to get some 5,000 foreign drivers into the UK to help ease the crisis. And now they are saying that they are putting the army on standby, some up to 150 military tanker drivers to be deployed if necessary to try to keep the fuel supplies moving.
The BBC's Emma Simpson for us. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, European benchmarks are down as much as 1.3% this morning. Hitting sentiment is data from China showing industrial production slowed for the sixth straight month in August, and worries about an ongoing power supply problem across China that's hit as much as 44% of the nation's industrial activity. President Xi has pledged to reduce coal consumption, which has pressured local governments not to expand demands on the power system. To Afghanistan now, where Saeed Musa Kalim al-Falahi, the boss of the Islamic Bank of Afghanistan, one of the country's biggest, says the system is on the brink of collapse. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani has that story.
Afghanistan's economy was already on shaky ground, even before the Taliban took control in August. Since then, the West has frozen international funds. Mr. al-Falahi says the Taliban are now turning to China and Russia for help.
We are not sure how these negotiations are going on. But it seems that sooner or later, they will be successful in dialogue with and in negotiation with these countries.
Western assistance is conditional on how the Taliban treats women and minorities.
As long as private sector is concerned, there is no restriction so far. We have more than 20% women in our bank. They are coming to the office. They are in other banks, also in other places.
Mr. al-Falahi insists women in his bank are returning to work, even though reports from activists say it's getting harder to do that.
That's the BBC's Karishma Vaswani reporting there. Yesterday, we explored how devastating summer floods in the western part of Germany changed the course of the nation's general election, which wrapped up. Today, we're taking you to a vineyard high in the hills of the Ahr Valley to meet a winemaker who, despite suffering huge losses to his business during the floods, has found a way to make the best of a bad situation.
I'm Peter Kriechel from Winery Peter Kriechel, and I'm also the president from the group Ahr Wine. It's every winemaker here at Ahr.
We're standing at the moment in part of your vineyard that's been destroyed by the floods. Just looking around, the vines have been cut down. There's really nothing, there's not a whole lot left. So just tell me what happened to your vineyards during the floods.
Yeah, around 10% of our vineyards are completely destroyed by the flood. So the next vintage we get here is in 2026.
And what does that mean for your business? 10%, that's a lot.
That's a lot. And also, we miss the 10% also for the next 4 or 5 years. We are thinking so that the business here from Ahr have a damage around 400 million euros. On my winery, I think so around 4 million. That's the cost for rebuilding and also because everything is destroyed. Every machine is destroyed.
I mean, aside from the vines that are still viable, do you have any wines that you can sell?
So yes, we have a sell the last weeks after the flood, our wines as flood wine. The last marketing, and also it's wonderful for us and for our wine region here.
Flute wine, or flood wine in English, was a way to make use of thousands of bottles of wine that would otherwise have gone to waste after the floods. The bottles have been sold online as is, covered in dried mud with labels that are no longer able to read. It's a marketing dream for the wine producers of the region. The campaign sold more than 175,000 bottles from local vineyards and raised more than $5 million. As Peter told us, many of these wineries had grapevines that were weeks away from harvest when the flood struck in mid-July. This campaign, then, has been a way to salvage something from the rubble. All the proceeds raised from online sales will go toward rebuilding vineyard infrastructure on many of these family-run businesses, while also supporting the local restaurant and tourism sectors vital to the Ahr Valley.
My name is Daniel Koller, and I'm one of the initiators of Flutwein.
How did you guys get the idea for flute wine?
Yeah, well, basically we found the vines in the cellar of Linda Kleber, my auntie. And probably you see a bottle like this when it's found under the ground in a ship. And we wanted to use this as a statement of solidarity, unifying 50 different labels with the mud and the floodings they got all hit with.
And it's been very successful. You've raised millions of euro. Did you sell every bottle that you set out to sell?
We sold heaps of bottles. I think the most important number is not the 4.5 million euros we raised with this campaign. It's more the donators behind. No? Because in the end, we achieved 1% of the total damage for the wine industry. But 47,500 new clients and people who never tried, never tasted an Ahr wine. And this is great. This gives hope for the region.
And where does the money that you've raised go? How will you use it now?
Yeah, the money goes to an NGO which is called Ahr, A Wine Region Needs Help for Rebuilding e.V. It is an NGO we founded within days. With the money, we will help for the rebuilding. This could be by helping out winemakers who struggle to get money for buying machines and so on. This could also be building up this region on a touristic way to focus on next year and the years later, selling the vintage 2021. The valley lives from wine and the tourists who come for the wine or for the wine views.
Well, if you already follow me on social media, you know I love seeing and sharing a good photo. So find me at Victoria Craig on Twitter today. I've shared a few of my photos of flute wine and the beautiful Ahr Valley. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.